Another edition of Tundra Topics, bringing you highlights of happenings among friends and neighbors throughout the territory. So let's look at the latest Tundra Topics, arranged for your information as another service of the Bank of Fairbanks. In a little less than two more days, registration will begin at the New Washington Hotel in Seattle, where pioneer Alaskans and Yukoners from every corner of the Northland will gather to celebrate International Sourdough Reunion Week. At this 16th annual convention, Dawsonites, Fairbanksans, Nomites, pioneers of Valdez and the Kantishna, the Kobuk, the Pelly, and the mighty Yukon will gather to recall happy memories of their trail-mushing days. Tundra Topics hears that the great numbers who are now pouring into Seattle more than assure the success of the gathering. Among those whose presence at the reunion will be expected is Fred After, well-known Dawson pioneer, who has been living outside for many years. After traveled by boat from San Francisco to Skagway and then mushed north to Dawson in 1898. Shortly after his arrival there, he had to leave because of illness, but by the time he had reached Seattle again, his sickness had disappeared and he decided to ship back to Alaska. He then prospected from the Haines Mission inland over the Ashlik watershed. In 1903, accompanied by Morley Jones, After took a dog team to the headwaters of the White River, where the partners found gold near Kewaunee Lake, located near the present Alaska Highway. When the international boundary line was set, Jones and After found that their cabin was right on it, and for several years they had been sleeping in Alaska and had been eating their meals in the Yukon Territory. Upon leaving the Northland, After went into farming and settled in Montana for a while. He now makes his home in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And since it isn't too far a journey to Seattle, his old-time friends hope that they'll be seeing Fred After at the Sourdough Reunion. Word from Kotzebue informs us that Bush pilots and the CAA have abandoned the search for the plane recently reported downed at 15 miles offshore, which was thought to be an Alaska Airlines plane missing since October 1946. The missing plane was piloted by Norman Weaver at the time of its disappearance, and the search was renewed only recently when Archie Ferguson, Kotzebue pilot, reported sighting an object offshore. His report came shortly after a bag of mail slightly damaged from submersion was washed ashore. Although the airplane search was officially abandoned, Eskimos are continuing to try to locate the missing plane with their small boats. Tundra Topics has received a letter from Mrs. Clifford Uzel of Lake Minchumina with the news that Mr. and Mrs. Plenty Hansbarger of Woodland, Michigan, have been visiting their daughter and son-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Hollick, and their small son, who have made their home on the lake since 1941. The Hansbargers came to Alaska by train to Seattle and flew by way of Pan American World Airways to Fairbanks, and they enjoyed the trip to Lake Minchumina via the former Northern Airways, now a member of the Northern Consolidated Airways Combine. Upon their arrival, the Hansbargers had luncheon at the home of the Edward Durands. Durand is connected with the CAA at Lake Minchumina. After lunch, they crossed the lake to their daughter's home in Carl Holt's outboard motorboat. They have enjoyed Alaskan fishing and are favorably impressed with the territory. Now, after experiencing these warm days with temperatures in the 70s and 80s, they can go back home and laugh at their friends who wondered why they were planning to spend their vacation in the frozen north. The Hansbargers plan to see much more of Fairbanks on their way out from Lake Minchumina and are stopping with Mrs. Earl Butcher, a former resident of Minchumina. Minchuminites wish Mr. and Mrs. Hansbarger a happy trip home. Scout Executive Russell Apple left Fairbanks this morning for a short tour to Livengood, Nenana, and Manly Hot Springs to become familiar with these towns and meet some of the people who are interested in scouting there. Going by air, he expects to return to Fairbanks tonight. Mrs. Robert Tucker from Tolovana arrived in Fairbanks last night with Captain and Mrs. George Black on the Idler. Mrs. Tucker will remain in town until Saturday, and while here, she is stopping with Mrs. Black. The Tuckers are operators of the Tolovana Roadhouse. Tundra Topics hears that Harry Gingrich from Coal Creek has been admitted to St. Joseph's Hospital. And tonight's congratulations go to Mr. and Mrs. Noel Ross of Beaver, who are the parents of an 8-pound, 2-ounce baby born yesterday at St. Joseph's Hospital. James Huntington has arrived in town from Cutoff. He will not be returning home for a while since he will journey to Seward with Mrs. Huntington, who is ill. Huntington said that transportation will be arranged for Johnny Happy, now at Koyukuk, to go home to Cutoff. Chuck Herbert at Tribbs Creek, or rather at Tibbs Creek, will be picked up tomorrow morning by an Alaska Airlines plane, which also will stop at Boundary and return to Fairbanks. Just as you can count on Tundra Topics to keep you up to date on territory activities, count on the Bank of Fairbanks to render a friendly personal interest in your particular financing problem. You'll find them of real help. Write or drop in and listen tomorrow night for more Tundra Topics. Another edition of Tundra Topics, bringing you highlights of happenings among friends and neighbors throughout the territory. So let's look at the latest Tundra Topics arranged for your information as another service of the Bank of Fairbanks. An Associated Press news release from Seattle covering the activities of the 16th International Sourdough Reunion says that there were no weaker sects on the trail of 98. After talking with pioneers who are attending the convention, they say, Chilkoot Pass? Sure, it discouraged men and killed horses, but Mrs. Emma A. McCain went over it twice. White Pass? Mrs. Ethel Becker negotiated that when she was a little girl, going over in a pack train with her mother and two other children and riding the last lap to Dawson by dog sled. About half the folks attending the sourdough reunion are women, and a large percentage of them went into the Yukon at the height of the gold strikes or were born there of pioneer parents. Mrs. Alice Handley, wife of W.H. Handley, went to Dawson in 1900 over White Pass, then on to Fairbanks, and she has lived here since 1904. Says Mrs. Handley, couldn't get my husband to come along to the meeting. He hasn't been outside since he went up there on the trail of gold. Also attending the reunion is Mrs. Alvina Morrow, who came north in 1888 when she was a little girl. Her father, an engineer at Douglas, met her and her small brother when they arrived in the care of the ship's captain. Mrs. Ethel Becker says that she can remember when a small jar of pickles sold for $2 to the luxury-starved prospectors of Dawson. Mrs. Emma McCain, who crossed Chilkoot Pass twice, also followed the lure of gold dust. She went in first with Curly Monroe's outfit as a dancing girl in 1895. We went to Circle, she said, and barely made a living and were glad to get back outside again. But then came the gold strike on the Yukon, and I made up my mind to go back. I went alone over Chilkoot. I worked in Wrigley's restaurant, continued Mrs. McCain, which was only a tent. Every meal was $2.50, and the customer could order everything we had, but sometimes it wasn't much. Usually there were plenty of canned vegetables and potatoes, but little meat. The main course usually was eggs when we had them, salmon with eggs when we had salmon, moose with eggs when we had moose. A rare early-day map which served the needs of miners, trappers, and travelers in the Alaska of 1906 was discovered recently in the old Connect Trading Post Company store at Wasilla. Walter Teeland, who recently purchased the store, found the map among old, long-forgotten items in the Pioneer store and various other mementos of early Alaska. The map, browned and creased with age, is marked Herning's Map of Alaska, and the author, O.G. Herning, states that the data was compiled from information from prospectors familiar with the country, native sketch maps, and his own 6 years' experience in the territory. The old blueprint noted gold and coal fields, trails and boat routes, along with locations known as Watson's Summer Trail, Indian Trail from Little Shushetna to Knick, the Shushetna River, Campbell Creek, and Indian Village. The location of hydraulic and copper mines is also spotted on the map, and the existence of dredges at Hope, Beluga, and Knick Rivers. The map has been turned over to the Anchor Bookshop in Anchorage, where it is now on display as one of their collector's items. The map's discoverer, Walter Teeland, also found copies of what he believes to be the first Wasilla town newspaper, a tiny four-page edition known as the Wasilla News, some numbers of which may be seen at the Anchor Bookshop. According to Dr. A.J. Scheibel, a medical convention will be held in Fairbanks next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Alaskan doctors expected to be on hand are Dr. Fred Langsam of Bethel and Dr. Rabot of Kotzebue, both Alaska Native Service physicians. It is hoped that Dr. Lulu Disoshway from Fort Yukon will arrive in town for the convention, but so far no word has been heard from her. Many noted specialists from Chicago and Seattle will be present at the meeting. Alaska Airlines flew to Circle Springs with Tony Lindstrom today. The scout troop of Fort Yukon and their scoutmaster, Reverend Wilfred C. Files, will welcome on Monday a party of scouts from Fairbanks. Four camp staff members and four first-class scouts will stop 2 days in Fort Yukon, camping near the mission, on their way to a camp on the Porcupine River. They plan to leave there for their camp on Wednesday in Kenneth Williams' boat to return to the fishing village on the 7th of August. The party, who will fly with both Ween and Alaska Airlines, consists of Scout Executive Russell Apple, camp staff members Eddie Osborne, Richard Idem, and Dudley Duval. The scouts going on the expedition are David Osborne, Aaron Downing, Robert Berglund, and Robert Morton. Just as you can count on Tundra Topics to keep you up to date on territory activities, count on the Bank of Fairbanks to render a friendly personal interest in your particular financing problems. You'll find them of real help. Write or drop in and listen Monday night for more Tundra Topics.